The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It is Thursday, November 19th. Again, I'm Ricky Scabrell, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines, and we want to welcome you to the program today. We've got an interesting podcast today, and the title of this is It Is Happening Again, or It's Happening Again. Again, we welcome all of our Facebook Live audience that will be jumping on here to the broadcast. We want to get started on this thing. We've got some interesting topics that we want to talk about. Obviously, the main topic of this I have kind of pushed off to the latter part of this podcast because I want to talk about some other things right off the bat. While everyone has been preoccupied with the election outcomes and the COVID pandemic, an asteroid roughly the size of a pickup truck just flew less than 300 miles away from the Earth last week and set a record for the closest known asteroid to fly past the planet without striking it, according to a report from NASA. Again, this was pretty interesting. I thought an asteroid that was roughly the size of an average pickup truck, flew less than 300 miles away from the Earth, making it, again, a record, being that it was the closest known asteroid to fly past the planet without striking it. Fox News reported that, according to the Center for the Near Earth Studies, the asteroid known as 2020 VT4 passed within 240 miles of the Earth's surface on November 13th. The asteroid was initially discovered by the asteroid to terrestrial impact last alert system, which is run by both NASA and the University of Hawaii. Again, this wasn't the first time this year as well, because according to this report, back in August, which was only a few months ago, back in the summer of this year, an asteroid known as 2020 QG flew within 2,000 miles of the Earth, and at that time set a record for the closest proximity to the Earth. But until, again, on November 13th, when this asteroid that was came within 240 miles. That's pretty, not only is it interesting, but it's very alarming that we had this happen. While this is happening, just keep in mind that astronomers continue to observe asteroid Apophis, which this name is derived from the Greek, and is the name meaning Egyptian mythological figure, meaning the Lord of Chaos. This is an earthquake that astronomers have been keeping their eye on for some time. It stretches about this asteroid, rather. I think I said earthquake there. My mind's going into the earthquakes and famines and pestilence in Matthew 24. This asteroid stretches about 1,100 feet or 340 meters across and will pass within 19,000 miles of the Earth's surface on April 13th, 2029. However, astronomers feel very confident that it will not pose any threat, at least now, that they see to the Earth on the first trajectory to a near-Earth miss. However, it's interesting to note that the same asteroid, Apophis, the Lord of Chaos, is set to make another very close pass by Earth as it will swing back around in the year 2068, and some have stressed concerns that this one could actually strike the Earth. Astronomers have reportedly not measured this solar push on Apophis before and haven't taken into consideration when calculating the threat the asteroid poses to us and the second trajectory of 2068. So what they're basically saying is, there's certain circumstances that could actually impact this asteroid's trajectory. So if the perfect storm takes place, then it actually could push or accelerate the asteroid to either farther away from impact of the earth or get closer to actually making an impact to the earth. Now, what's interesting enough is one end time expert named Tom Horn believes that this asteroid, now they did a podcast with him recently on Charisma Magazine, and he's been on other broadcasts, and he has stressed that he believes, I'm going to give you a quote from this. Tom Horn believes that this asteroid will be the one that will bring about the fulfillment of Revelation 8 that foretells of wormwood striking the earth and causing plagues and darkness. Very intriguing. He believes this scripture, or these scriptures in Revelation 8, are referring to Apophis. In a podcast with Charisma Magazine published back in February of this year, Horn stated the following, quote, "The first trumpet sounds and what happens? Fire falls and particles fall down from heaven burning," he says, and quote, "and they catch the grass and the fields on fire." That's exactly what would happen ahead of a very large asteroid or body where you have the debris that's being pushed out in front of it, breaking up as it enters the atmosphere. Secondly, he goes on to quote that Revelation describes a stone like a mountain that is burning as it falls down to earth and it strikes the ocean, destroying ships and the sea. And Horn says that this could be a binary asteroid. And what now I want to say this. I do agree with Tom Horn that this depiction mentioned in Revelation here is absolutely an asteroid. In fact, when you get into the Greek understanding of this, it comes from a Greek word called astroth, or where we derive the word asteroid. So again, that's very intriguing to say the least. It says, he goes on to say that it could be one asteroid that breaks apart as it enters the atmosphere. And then he says, in the third trumpet of Revelation, wormwood pollutes and corrupts the water. So he's saying that it's absolutely a strike here, that the asteroid will strike the earth. And then you have the fourth trumpet, which brings about darkness that envelops the sky and blackens everything. Quote, "That's exactly what would happen with these large bodies striking the earth, boiling the waters of the sea, causing them to rise up into the atmosphere, creating hurricane and tornadic activity impacting the earth." Thomas, again, this is from Tom Horn. He says the second part of it, knocking all the dust and debris up into the heavens, it would literally, for a period of 2 or 3 days, as described in scripture, blacken out the sun and the moon. So again, that is that's an opinion from Tom Horn that was given on a recent podcast back in February with Steve Strang of Charisma, where, again, Tom Horn emphatically believes that this Apophis, this asteroid that's going to make two swing arounds. The first one, again, will come in 2029, and then we'll swing back around again in 2068. And I quote, this was from mainstream outlets, that astronomers continue to keep observation of asteroid Apophis, or again in the Greek, it's known as the Lord of Chaos. So will this be wormwood? Well, there's some things that we need to talk about here. First of all, if Revelation 8 is indeed Apophis, and we know that it is wormwood, and if it's going to happen either in 2028 or 29 rather, or 2068, it's safe to assess here that that means that civilization or humanity would have to be in this period of time called Jacob's trouble, or the 7-year tribulation. So we are getting ready to go into 2021. This first runaround here of this asteroid would be 8 years out. So that means, my friends, that we would have to be entering into the tribulation sometimes in the next year or two. All right? Or it gets pushed out and we enter into that period. If this is indeed wormwood of Revelation 8, then we would be in the tribulation either sometime between now and 2029, or we're pushed out to 2068. Now, I know some of you said, well, no way, Brother Ricky. There's no way that we're going to go that far out. I don't believe the tribulation is going to be way out into 2068. I believe the tribulation is going to be much sooner. Well, guys, again, I have to say this as a point of argument, as generation after generation has made this same argument. They have said that, you know, we are going to be the generation that's going to see these things coming to pass. We're going to see the tribulation. We're going to see the rise of the Antichrist. We're going to see the rise of the false prophet. We're going to see all these things. Again, generation after generation after generation. And here we are in 2021. And that we don't have the Antichrist. We don't have the false prophet. We don't have wormwood. We don't have the bold judgments. We don't have all these judgments falling. I know some of y'all want to say that we're in the tribulation, but guys, I'm telling you, we're not in the tribulation. We're just not. We're not going to be having Thanksgiving dinners with our families while asteroids are falling out of the sky and 200,000 man army is marching over the Euphrates as it's dried up. There's not famines. There's not a mark of the beast issued. There's not people being beheaded because we're refusing a mark. The Antichrist is not in power. He's not invaded the temple. Should I go on? We are not in the tribulation, all right? We are in the birth pangs of the Messiah. Now, oh boy, now we're going to get into what I really wanted to talk about today. And that is, it's happening again. I have been warning you guys who have kept up with our podcast, kept up with our broadcast, I have been warning for some time now that it was only a matter of time that we would begin to go back into full lockdowns like we had in the beginning of the year, back in February, back in March, back in April. And I even said, you can go back and listen to some of my podcasts, some of our broadcasts, and I said that it would probably be either on the same level or likely be worse than what we saw in the spring. And I said that because if you really pay attention, it's almost like they give us clues. And I have been saying this, that, you know, these guys like Dr. Fauci and other ones from the CDC and the World Health Organization, they give you these clues. If you're paying attention, it's called I call them breadcrumbs. And if we follow these breadcrumbs, follow these clues, we can almost see that these things are inevitable. The last one that was given, again, was the last presidential debate between Joe Biden and President Donald Trump. And Joe Biden got out in the context of speaking of the coronavirus and the pandemic. He came out flat out and said that Joe Biden said that he saw a dark winter coming. And I remember I was with a group of people and we were watching the presidential debate. And I said to them right there in the room, I said, wow, did you hear that? I said, mark my words, the fact that he said that is going to assure to me that we are going to see these lockdowns. We're going to see draconian measures, and it's probably going to be on a greater scale than what we saw in the spring. And sure enough, it is happening again. Again, it is happening again. All right. And what many are calling the second wave, the coronavirus is back with a vengeance. And the U.S. is breaking records across the country, causing governors of multiple states to implement what some are considering draconian measures in an effort to slow or stop the spread of the virus. In fact, according to a report, 36 states plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico are now requiring people to wear face coverings in public statewide, according to a list mandated by AARP. Iowa, Utah, and North Dakota just joined the list in recent days, and Maine, Ohio, and West Virginia strengthened their mandates last week. And Oregon is now threatening fines and jail time. According to a new report, violators of this law could face up to 30 days in jail and a fine up to $1,250 or both, according to the governor's office of Oregon. Again, these are mandates. Meanwhile, in San Diego, A new report indicated the San Diego Superior Court judge has just ordered California to end any actions that prevent strip clubs from being allowed to provide live adult entertainment. However, we can't have churches open. We can't have in-person meetings of church folks, religious gatherings, houses of worship. But hold on now. We can't have adult strip clubs be shut down. We must allow and provide live adult entertainment, because after all, that is essential. It's essential to have strip clubs remain open, but it's not essential to have houses of worship remain open. This was according to the Los Angeles Times. In New Jersey, officials have urged residents not to travel at all and advise against gatherings of any size during the upcoming holidays such as Thanksgiving and Christmas. Not even singing. Quote, this will not be a normal Thanksgiving. With the alarming surge in our cases, we all need to be vigilant and take all of the public health precautions that helped us limit the spread of the virus last spring. Our lives and the lives of our loved ones depend upon it, according to the New Jersey Department of Health Commissioner. And during Governor Phil Murphy's coronavirus press briefing. Everyone should only celebrate with members of their immediate household. The city of Philadelphia has ordered that indoor gatherings be banned altogether in an effort to slow coronavirus surge that could overwhelm the hospitals and kill thousands. The city is strongly urging residents to shelter at home and prohibits indoor gatherings of any size in any location, public or private, according to Health Commissioner Thomas Farley at a news conference on Monday, according to a report from Reuters. I want to pull up something else here because this just came out today. Unbelievable. Or yesterday, Pennsylvania governor announced new COVID rules, including wearing a mask in your own house. So, if you live in Pennsylvania, and you are going to be defiant and not wear a mask, you better have your blinds closed. You better have your windows closed because, you know, God forbid somebody walk by your window, you might have a nosy neighbor that might be suspicious that you are sitting in your living room watching TV without a mask on. You know what I mean? Because that's risky. Your cat can get infected, your bird, your dog, your goldfish. I mean, unbelievable. Is this reality? This is reality that we're facing right now. Farley went on to say the quote, we need to keep this virus from jumping from one household to another. If exponential growth of cases continue, hospitals will soon become overwhelmed and more than 1,100 people could die in Philadelphia alone over the next 6 weeks before the end of the year. In South Dakota, one ER nurse reported how she has been seeing some disturbing examples of COVID denial. According to the Week publication, she said that, quote, after a Twitter thread of her experiences started circulating, the nurse appeared on CNN's New Day on Monday to describe how South Dakota hospitals are overwhelmed with coronavirus patients, and yet some of them don't even believe the virus they have is real. While many patients are grateful for the care they receive from nurses, some COVID patients spend their last moments alive refusing to call family and friends because, quote, they're convinced they're going to be fine and say that the virus is not even real. Their last dying words are, quote, this is according to a nurse, this can't be happening. It's not real. I mean, come on. I really hope that we're not talking to a mass psychosis of ignorance here. To say, listen, to say that the virus is not real is just ignorant. It is. I know people personally that has died from it, but it's still 97% will be fine. But to completely deny and say that it's not real and it's a hoax, guys, come on. Are we really going to go down this path? Listen, I'm not telling you that that this thing has been hyped up and that they're taking advantage of something. That's what I believe. Do I believe the virus is real? Yes. Do I believe it can be dangerous to the 3% group of people of humanity in the United States of America and outside of that? Yes. Do I believe that the powers that be are taking advantage of something and using it to their advantage to bring about something more of a sinister purpose? Yes. So I just want to let you know where I stand on that. Meanwhile, Biden's coronavirus task force, even though he's still not officially president in the United States yet, he's got this coronavirus task force, is continuing to sound the alarm that the pandemic continues to aggressively worsen, raising alarms on the potential impact of rising cases in hospitals. Quote, there is now aggressive, unrelenting, expanding broad community spread across the country, reaching most counties without evidence of improvement, but rather further deterioration. Current mitigation efforts are inadequate and must be increased. Are you hearing me? To flatten the curve, to sustain the health system for both COVID and non-COVID emergencies. Quote, the pandemic is likely going to get worse, according to Michael Osterholm, who is the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota and a newly appointed member of the president-elect Joe Biden's coronavirus task force. Quote, we are entering this period that I call COVID hell, Dr. Osterholm said on Yahoo Finance. Quote, back on Labor Day, we were at 23,000 cases. And we were about 23,000 cases of new coronavirus infection every day. Today, we're going to be in the 130,000 to 140,000 range. And the numbers are accelerating rapidly. So, in direct now this is what I think is interesting. In direct contrast to Biden's task force, President Trump's coronavirus advisor is telling Michigan to rise up against new shutdown orders in the state following Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer recently announcing a three-week pause, because we don't want to call it a lockdown or a shutdown because that sounds too draconian. So let's just tone it down a little bit and cause it, we're just going to pump the brakes. We're just going to pause. Everybody just take a pause. Take a time out. And while we're taking a time out, pausing life, we're going to close colleges, high schools, workplaces, in-person dining. Because after all, White House coronavirus advisor Scott Atlas is calling a call to action. And instead of supporting Whitmer's efforts, he is urging residents to reject the public health guidelines and saying, quote, the only way this stops is the people rise up. Well, of course, the mainstream media came after this guy with a vengeance. Call him a fanatic, irresponsible, and saying that he's following in the footsteps of the president who has been in denial, who has risked the lives of hundreds of thousands of Americans. All the while, guys, we have two, possibly three now, coronavirus potential vaccines. One, they're saying is 95% effective. So it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. Again, it's happening again. Meanwhile, while we could sit here and debate whether it's a hoax, it's not a hoax, it's a plan, it's perpetrated, it's an agenda, while we're all arguing about this, It's apparent if you go to any, at least where I'm at in Georgia, it's apparent that the 17,000 rolls of toilet paper that everybody got 7 months ago when they wiped out all the grocery chains and they stocked their spare bedrooms and their closets and their bathrooms and their attics and their basements and their sheds, and they just stocked it pile high with toilet paper and paper towels and canned goods. For some reason, all that wasn't enough. So now they're at it again. Grocery shelves are going bare across the country. I was just in Monroe, Georgia. I went to a Walmart locally here and, of course, went down the aisle. And sure enough, right there where the toilet paper is, right there where the paper towel is, it's bare empty. I don't even understand this. It's unbelievable. States begin ramping up lockdown measures as they begin to ramp up lockdown measures after months of loosening restrictions. We're beginning to see a surge of panic shoppers hoarding consumer goods, leaving shelves bare in supermarkets along the West Coast, as well as major cities in the Northeast, Southwest, Great Lakes region, Texas, and beyond. Even the Daily Beast said, quote, on a global scale, for most goods, demand never actually outstripped supply. But however, stores often had no way of predicting how much they'd need of any given thing until they already had a shortage problem. Guys, that's the problem. I'm trying to tell you, listen, some of these chains, grocery stores, retails, small business, mom and pop shops, business, whatever, a lot of these never recovered from the first shutdown. So what's going to happen when we have another full shutdown? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to completely shut down. There's people that are watching this and listening to this podcast today. You have already been impacted by this. You've already felt this. The ripple effect, the tsunami wave of this is coming to your house again. And if you're relying on the government to bail you out and give you another check, I don't know how long you're going to be able to hold your breath. Again, it's coming again. Another wave's coming. And I hate to say this, but I'm telling you, it's going to be worse the second time. And there's going to be a lot of people that's never going to get their jobs again. In fact, Bill Gates came out. Let me see if I can pull this article up. I didn't have this pulled up, but I want to read this quote from Bill Gates. Because, you know, Bill Gates, he's always got to get his 2 cents in it, right? I don't understand why this guy's opinion is so prevalent on everything. But this guy came out and warned yesterday that the coronavirus will fundamentally change the way people travel for and conduct business even far after the pandemic is over. In fact, he went on to say that more than 50% of business travel will disappear altogether in a post-coronavirus world. So if you're holding your breath, I'm just patiently waiting out until everything goes back to normal. I want to get back to normal again. We're going to get back to normal and everything's going to be peachy and good and be like it used to be. Guys, I hate to tell you, but I don't think it's going to get back to normal again. I know some of y'all have been holding your breath and thinking that it's going to get back to normal. I want to read some more of this stuff. As COVID cases start to rise, quote, you're going to see some panic buying. Some panic buying? I don't know. These editors and these journalists, it's funny how they say some panic buying. I don't know where you live, but even when I lived up in Indiana, this was bad. It's like every the people I know personally, they're seeing this. Even out in the rural areas, we're seeing this. As COVID cases start to rise, you're going to see some panic buying. said Wendy White, who's a food safety manager with Georgia Manufacturing Extension Partnership. I don't know where she lives, but if it's, listen, I'm an hour outside of Atlanta from a major city, and I'm seeing it here. I couldn't imagine what it's going to be like the closer you get to a major metropolitan area. The food supply chain is secure, and we've only seen sporadic shortages this fall. Well, I hate to tell you, Mrs. White, but we've got another report I'm going to talk about in just a second. I think things are going to change on that. She goes on to say, as people start to get nervous and the cases start to go up, people will change their buying patterns, and you're going to see inevitable shortages because of that. Earlier this month, grocery stores, including Publix and Kroger, reinstated buying limits on toilet paper. Oh, yes, it's happening again. According to WSB-TV reported over the weekend, Walmart resumed counting the number of customers entering in stores to ensure it doesn't exceed 20% capacity limits. Remember that? Remember when Walmart had to set up lines where you can, you got to come in this way, where you enter, and then you can't just go in. You got to be, they've got the mask patrol there. By the way, yesterday my son and I was at Walmart, and some guy, some hippie looking dude with dreadlocks all the way down to the bottom of his back, which was disgusting, nasty, and funky. Looks like he hadn't washed his hair in 25 years, was following customers going down the aisles that didn't have masks on and ripping them, lecturing them, ripping into them. And the customers, I mean, they were going back and forth, yelling at each other. And I was standing right beside them. I had a mask on. My son didn't. He's 12 years old. And I was waiting for this guy to come up to us and start laying into my son, because I would have just told him straight up, if he wanted to accuse us of being a threat to others' health, I would have quickly said, sir, your dreadlocks that are nasty and funky and hasn't been washed in about 30 years is probably more of a crisis and more of a threat to anyone's health than me or my son not wearing a mask. People are losing their minds. It's happening again. Even Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, who again is a Federal Reserve official, are typically optimistic during times of economic turmoil, recessions, etc. However, during a European Central Bank panel discussion last week, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell openly admitted that, quote, listen to me carefully, listen to what he said. This is, again, Federal Reserve Chair, quote, we are not going back to the same economy. Remember what I told you in the beginning of this broadcast? I said, if you're listening, if you're paying attention, the breadcrumbs, the clues. Here, again, is a Federal Reserve official saying that, quote, we're not going back to the same economy. He went on to say that, quote, we are recovering, but to a different economy. And this was before the lockdowns were ensued. Quote, did you hear what he said? We are recovering, but to a different economy. And it will be one that is more leveraged to technology. Wow, Mr. Powell, you kind of sound like you're talking about a digital currency, a digital economy, a one world economy, a reset, if you would, getting rid of paper economy, a cashless society. He says, quote, I worry that this is going to make it even more difficult than it was for many workers. Wow. Again, here's this guy is basically saying there's no way that things are going to return normal anytime soon. Then we had the report from the UN World Food Program that has come out and warning of, again, famines of biblical proportions coming in 2021. And this comes as some Americans just waited over 12 hours for food. David Beasley, who again is one of the heads of the World Food Program, recently came out and said, with a massive influx of coronavirus cases and the situation that we're facing, he says that, quote, we are going to see famines of biblical proportions coming in 2021. He said next year is going to be worse than this year. Yeah, that's all we need to hear, Mr. Beasley. Does this guy realize how bad 2020 was? We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear 2021 is going to be worse, right? He said next year is going to be worse than this year, and without billions of dollars, we are going to have famines of biblical proportions in 2021. He went on to warn that food prices are rapidly rising all over the planet, and many areas of the globe are potentially facing a major food crisis. He talks about Yemen, South Sudan, northeastern Nigeria, and many locations that are deteriorating quickly, and said that, quote, could lead to a risk of famine in these locations. Now, where is all this heading? I want to give you something that I think is interesting that Tucker Carlson talked about on his program the other night on Fox News. He gave a chilling warning. I know a lot of you guys don't watch Fox News anymore, and many of y'all's jump ship. I will be honest with you. I watch him 10% now, and that's because I like Tucker Carlson, I like Sean Hannity, and I like Laura Ingraham. So I still, every now and then, I'll flip over and I'll watch them. But from what I heard, a lot of them, they're probably going to be jumping ship soon enough. The Titanic has hit the iceberg. And the life jackets are being distributed to these guys. I'm just interested to see who's going to take them. Anyway, Tucker Carlson just gave a chilling warning recently on his program regarding Americans once again going back on these draconian lockdowns. He warned that all this is leading up to what he is calling the, quote, great reset by the elites. Tucker read a letter addressed to President Donald Trump from a Catholic archbishop addressing the lockdowns. And and I want to read you one quote from this. He said, quote, no one up until last Friday would ever have thought that in all of our cities, citizens would be arrested simply for wanting to walk down the street, to breathe, to want to keep their businesses open, or to want to go to church on Sunday. Yet now it is happening all over the world. Quote, the fundamental rights of citizens and believers are being denied in the name of a health emergency that is revealing itself more and more fully as instrumental to the establishment of an inhuman, faceless tyranny. Carlson went on and said he alleged that a global health emergency was being used by the people in power for ends that had nothing to do with the virus in itself. But of course, the mainstream media will say that's crazy talk and it's false information. And it's conspiracy theories. However, I want to point out to you that recently Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, however you want to pronounce it, tomato, tomato, recently spoke to the UN in September and stated, quote, this pandemic, you can look it up, this is not fabricated, he actually said this, quote, this pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our, quote, pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems. Whoa, don't that sound a little bit like, that's interesting because if I recall, isn't that what this Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell just came out and admitted to? He said, we're not going back to the same economy. He said, we're recovering, but we're going to recover to a different economy, and it's going to be leveraged to technology. So again, here's a leader, the leader of Canada, saying that this pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. And he says, this is our prime opportunity to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address, quote, global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change. Now, for all you guys that are familiar with all the fictional Christian novels and movies and everything that's been made in the name of the Book of Revelation, don't get mad at me, but probably about 50% of that's actual truth, and the other part is just good Hollywood. But in all those movies and novels, for such as Left Behind, they always painted a picture of there was always going to be a climate, if you would, that was going to have extreme poverty, that was going to have challenges, was going to have wars and famines. And in other words, everything would be falling apart. The world would be collapsing. The economies would be collapsing. There'd be natural disasters. People would be looking and searching for answers and remedies and this. And then all of a sudden, here comes the guy on the scene who's going to be the answer to all the world's problems. He's going to bring peace. He's going to bring answers to all these things. And of course, he would be the Antichrist of the Bible. So when I was reading this, I thought, wow, this is actually stunningly playing out just like what we read about in those novels. And I'm not saying that Justin Trudeau here, Trudeau, or however you pronounce his name, is going to be the Antichrist. What I'm saying is the perfect storm is happening that is convenient or conveniently accelerating Bible prophecy to initiate, to bring about these things that we've read about for years. Quote, let me read on here. He goes, this is our chance, not our chance to save you from a virus with a 99% survival rate. That's interesting. He says 99% survival rate, and we can't even get the CDC and the World Health Organization to even say that it's 99% survival rate. Quote, this is our chance to impose unprecedented social controls on the population in order to bypass democracy and change everything to conform with the... And I'm going to stop here because I'm getting two quotes mixed up. I don't want you to think that Trudeau said, this is our chance. Not our chance to save you from a virus with a 99% survival rate. But then Tucker comes in, Carlson, and said, quote, and he adds his own words here, this is our chance to impose unprecedented social controls on the population in order to bypass democracy and change the... everything to conform with the weird academic theories that have never been tested in the real world, and by the way, won't actually make any sense. Quote, this pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. Keep in mind, that's not from some conspiracy group. That is the head of state. He's talking about, again, Justin Trudeau. And he's not alone. The founder of the World Economic Forum has just written a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset. So guys, again, these clues, these breadcrumbs are laying right out there in the open. They're not even making this hidden anymore. The book is not even about science or medicine. Instead, it describes, quote, what changes will be needed to create a more inclusive, resilient, and sustainable world going forward. Now you say, wow, that is enough conspiracy nonsense for me today. Well, listen, there's a fine line between a full-blown nut job and conspiracy theories. You can call this a conspiracy theory all you want, but I've said this for a long time. If you want to know the direction of where the world is going, just look at China. What they're doing over in China is what you're going to see other countries begin to implement. Look how they handled this. By the way, President Donald Trump, I know they blasted him, but this is exactly where this virus originated from. And look how they Look what extreme draconian measures they took to try to prevent this virus from spreading in their nation. It wasn't just lockdowns, guys. They were welding doors shut on people's apartments and places that they lived in so that they could ensure that they were not going to get out and infect people in the public. I mean, we're talking about full-blown martial law. Okay, is that coming here? Again, I could really go, if you, how deep you want to go with this, but I could talk about predictive programming and talk about a new movie coming out. I think it's called Songbird, if I'm not mistaken. But there's a movie coming out, and it talks about a virus, consequently enough, called COVID 2021. And it stems, and it's right from what we're seeing right now. And it's being played out, and many say this is predictive programming. Am I saying that's where we're going? I hope to God not. But what I am telling you is it's time for us to not, we got to get our head out of the sand. Stop burying our head in the sand. Look around. Take a deep breath. Look at the breadcrumbs. Look at the warnings. Take heed of what's going on. What are you allowing to speak to you? Are you doing your own research? Are you listening? Listen, again, let me go back to China. Look at the measures they did to try to stop or to prevent or mitigate this virus from going forward. Then look what they did with their currencies. Look what they did. They're creating their own digital currency. Because why? Because they know that we are heading into a cashless society. So they're already one step ahead of it. In fact, they're already making, while we're all over here freaking out about 5G, they're already creating 6G technology. All right? Then they've created what's called a social crediting system, in which, again, the social scoring crediting system, we've talked about this on this program many times in times past, where, again, all the citizens are given a social scoring credit system. And if you're a good citizen and you obey the rules and you do what you're told to do, then it'll be good for you. You'll get a good job. You'll get a good paying job. You'll be able to travel. You'll be able to buy, sell, trade. You'll be able to do all the things and all the freedoms that you can have. However, if you disagree with the government, you buck against the system, you become negligent, you become defiant, you get on social media, and you start, come on, revolting against the system, then it's not going to go well for you because your credit scoring system will be depleted. You'll get low numbers. You won't be able to find a job. You won't be able to get a place of employment. You won't be able to travel. You won't be able to function as society. So don't tell me, don't call me a nut job or a conspiracy theorist. There are some things out there that I do believe are full-blown nut job conspiracy theories, but I also believe that everything we're seeing right now is heading right into the book of Revelation. It's heading into the fulfillment of Daniel, into the fulfillment of John the Revelator, into the fulfillments of what Isaiah saw, what Jeremiah saw, and what many prophets, Zechariah, all these prophets, things that they saw in the future that society would come to, that humanity would come to, the rise of a global government, the rise of a new world order and a system of buying, selling, and trading and control. We are 100% heading that direction. And we are heading there at fast pace, breakneck speed. So again, guys, we appreciate you coming on here today. Listen, I don't want to make any promises. We're going to try to come back on here tomorrow, but I'm actually preaching tomorrow night for our youth at our church here in Monroe, Georgia. So I've got a whole, a message put together. They got to put a lot of PowerPoint, pictures in it. So we're going to try to work in another podcast tomorrow. If we don't, for some reason, then we'll be back on here on Monday. But until then, guys, God bless you. Thank you. Again, be sure to share this, link this, invite some folks in. We hope you guys have enjoyed the broadcast for today. So until we see you again, God bless you guys. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. God bless. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.